There's a story about a man who was a salesman, a very good salesman. He sold unbreakable combs, unbreakable combs. He had a little place in the department store where he would actually demonstrate that the combs were unbreakable. He would twist them, he'd torture them, he'd bend them in all kinds of different directions. And then he'd draw the crowd in and he'd sell these unbreakable combs. Finally came to one day when he got up and he had a large crowd in front of him and he said, "Watch me bend this unbreakable comb right in half." When he did that, in front of the entire crowd, as a crowd held in waiting, he bent that comb all the way down, right in half. All of a sudden, snap, it went in half, it broke. He looked at the crowd was in awe, and he looked out at the crowd, and without missing a beat, he looked at and he says, "Now I want to show you the inside of an unbreakable comb." You know, there's a lot of talk when you come into faith about your inside and your outside. And as I look at the gospel today, and as I look at the scriptures for today, I think once again, that's what they're trying to talk about, the inside and the outside. You know, I started thinking about it because, you know, I've been in ministry now for 42 years, I guess, and over the years, I thought to myself, you know what? Selling faith and spirituality, not so much religion, but faith and spirituality is a really hard sell. I mean, it's a hard sell, selling faith and spirituality. And the reason why is because one of the main premises of faith and spirituality is this: that there's nothing outside that is greater than what you already have inside. Nothing outside is greater and can give you more than what you already have inside. You know, I mean, how's that a sale? I mean, you already got it. So, I mean, it's difficult. But the truth of the matter is how many of us really deal with it? How many of us look inside ourselves? How many of us go deep with inside ourselves? It's easier to get this little structure put around us, isn't it? It's easier to, in a sense, get dressed with all the things that are religious rather than to go deep with inside yourself spiritually. And yet, that's what Jesus really commands us to do, is to move beyond the outside and go and change the inside. What does he talk about more than anything else? You know, don't clean the outside of the cup, clean the inside of the cup. You know, in the gospel that we have today, it's an interesting gospel because it's in the gospel of Mark. And if you look at it, it says that it ends, I think, on verse 34. And then all of a sudden, you have this big gap, and it starts up on verse 53. Okay? And the part that we have in the gospel is the first part that says basically that Jesus, after the disciples have gone out, don't forget the last 2 weeks, he sent the apostles out, the disciples, they've gone out two by two, you know, and they visited and healed the sick and, you know, did all kinds of miracles, and they proclaimed the good news to the poor. You know, they come back and they report in. And here's Jesus reporting in. It says that they come to Jesus to tell about what everything that's gone on. And Jesus looks at it and says, "Come on, let's get away from this and, you know, go a place where we can rest, where you can be rest after all the work you've done." Then all of a sudden, that's at the end of, you know, this scripture in the beginning, and it jumps to 53, and what does it say in 53? It immediately goes, "And they went to the other side of the lake in Gennesaret, and there the people followed them, you know, and there they are, and people are following them." You know what it leaves out in the middle? It leaves out two major things. It leaves out the feeding of the 5,000. That's 5,000 men plus women and children, by the way. And it also leaves out Jesus walking on the water. Now, it takes those two sensational stories to just simply zero in on, well, you know what? You've gone out. You've reported back on your ministry. You need time to rest. And now we're going to travel. But you know what? When you get to the other side of the lake, people are still following you. You're still there. They're still coming after you. They're, you know, they want to take it. And Jesus has compassion on them. Like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus says. I've got to take care of them. How do you take care of them all? You know, it's really quite interesting. Because to me, what this scripture is trying to teach us in its very simple way, because there's nothing dynamic about them going and being needed on this side of the lake and on the other side of the lake. What's so amazing is, how did disciples in ministry deal with it? How did they deal with it? Do you ever realize that you're in ministry the moment you walk out of here? They always say, you know, the old saying is, when the service ends, the real service begins when you go out. When you go out, as a Christian, you're called to go out and serve. So how are you going to do that? How's God do that for you? And the lesson that Jesus tries to teach the disciples at every turn is what? He says, it's not you really that are doing it. You're the instrument. I'm doing it through you. But how many of us really look at ourselves as instruments of God rather than, I'm doing this for God. I'm going to be a good little boy today. You know, I mean, how many of us look at sin almost more as the things that we've done wrong? I mean, how many of you have ever had where you've rolled those things you did wrong around in your head over and 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 over again, and you've asked more than once for forgiveness for those things, and you never really got beyond them? Now, I do that all the time. I mean, sin, most of the time when we think about it, when I used to work with kids, I used to always say, yeah, you think sin is, you know, basically drinking and smoking and chewing and going out with the girls that do, you know? But the truth of the matter is that sin is not things that you do. Those are symptoms of sin. Sin, really, you know what it is? It's a state of disconnection. It's being disconnected from God. It's turning your back on God, walking away from Him. And it's when you disconnect, when you walk away from Him, that all of a sudden those other things start happening. And if those things didn't happen, to tell you the truth, we'd be really in trouble, because they are, in a sense, the ways that you work your way back to God. The mistakes you made are actually avenues for you to walk back to God with, more than things that made you walk away from God. They were just the symptoms of you being already away from God. To do ministry means that you don't get disconnected. To do ministry is you have a state of being that is fully connected to the living God. And you can see it clearly if you're connected by two things, and that's communion and contentment. If you're communing with God, if you're content, then all of a sudden you're probably connected. If you are filled with joy in the midst of things, there's a good chance that you're connected. But to be real honest with you, the people that I meet, that I see that are so unhappy, usually I look at them in the first time, even if they've been coming to church every Sunday for the last 60 years, the people that are the most unhappy are usually the ones that are the most disconnected. And you can be disconnected in church. Let me make that real clear. And you can be in heaven not being in church. To do ministry means that you're connected. It means that you're living out your life in a way that's real and rich, that's alive, that's filled with joy. And I think the reason why Jesus, you know, told the disciples, here, come and rest, is because when you do ministry and you're filled with that joy, you get tired. And if you don't get refilled, you know what? You're going to have more of a chance to get disconnected. Why did they split these scriptures up? Well, maybe it's because he wanted to say, this is what the ordinary life is like. It's going around and seeing a whole lot of needs, meeting the needs that you can meet, but knowing that God works through you. If you want some reference on that, let me put it this way. You know, in the feeding of the 5,000, that's men plus women and children, okay? In the feeding of the 5,000, what happens? It comes right after where he says they look like sheep. You know, I had compassion upon them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And then all of a sudden it says that he's out there and he's teaching. And then all of a sudden it comes late. The disciples look at him and said, it's late. Send the people away. There's not enough food here to eat. Tell them to go home and get a meal. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. You feed them. He didn't say, well, I'll feed them. Andrew, he comes up, well, there's a kid in town here that's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He goes, bring that to me, that's enough. And he prays over and boom, they feed everybody, and there's 12 baskets left over of leftovers. But the real secret is what? You feed them. You feed them because I'm going to work through you. You see, a lot of us who go on ministry, to tell you the truth, We might sound good, we might do good, we might even seem like everything's good, but if we're disconnected, then we aren't doing really anything except for our own selves. And most of the time what happens is you get worn out, you get burned out, you slow down, and then all of a sudden you're disconnected and you start falling away from the living God. When the most important thing is to be connected to the living God. Because it's in that connection that all of a sudden you become alive. You become alive. You know, most of us think that life is about us. Let me tell you right now, life is not about you. You are about life. And it's your job to model that to the people who cross your path. And how do you do that? How do you model life in front of people? I think it's by being connected to the source of life and having some joy. Having joy within all things. Not letting the small stuff get you down. But all of us are subject to getting lost and disconnected. And you know when we get disconnected? I know none of you have ever done this, but I have. Okay? It's when my brain goes off and all of a sudden I'm worried about every little thing. It's all of a sudden when I'm in my own stuff of, well, how's this going to make me look and what's this going to do? And it's when all of a sudden I'm in there and I'm thinking, well, I don't like that issue. I don't like the way they did that. And I, by God, they're not doing it. And you're in everybody else's business, but you're not working on going deeper within yourself. You see, when you go off in your brain like that, you're in your own little kingdom. But what does Jesus say? The kingdom of God is within you. It's getting out of here and getting down into here. It's traveling that 18 inches. It's moving in that way that's true and rich and real to where all of a sudden you are happy, joyous, and free. Where all of a sudden, yeah, I don't like what they're doing over there, but you know what? I'm not going to lose my day over it. I don't like what's going on in this institution or that institution, but you know what? I don't have control over that. I can simply do what I can do within myself. And you know what? I'm not going to sit around the house all day and miss all that's life there. I'm going to take every moment. I'm going to savor every moment. I'm going to do where all of a sudden, you know what? I'm going to squeeze the life out of every moment of life. I'm going to squeeze it out. But how many of us do that? You know, life is 5 steps forward and 3 steps back. We're not ever going to stay in that place of connectiveness every step of the way. But the truth of the matter is, once you taste that connectiveness, you'll always want to get back into that connectiveness, even when you disconnect. It's following that highway to the Lord. You know, there's a story about a highway. You know, it's a story that I'm sure all of you have heard before. It's called The Wizard of Oz. And the highway was the Yellow Brick Road. Now, you know this story. What happens? Dorothy gets taken up in a tornado, basically, and she's twirled around in her house and in a whole 9 yards, and she lands down. She kills a wicked witch while she lands on her house. That's what you call really good navigation and GPS points. And she kills that witch, and all of a sudden she comes out, and the wicked witch comes, and the good witch comes, and they all come there, and all of a sudden the munchkins are there, and she said, well, I got to get home, and, you know, and the good witch Glinda says, you know, well, you're going to have to go on to the wizard, and you know, so then all of a sudden the munchkins are, follow the yellow brick road, and, you know, I mean, what's on the yellow brick road? They're following the yellow brick road. You know what? There's one thing on the yellow brick road that's not anything. There are no stop signs on the yellow brick road. There is no speed limit on the yellow brick road. There are no traffic lights on the yellow brick road. There are, in a sense, distractions on the yellow brick road. There's things that can frighten you to death. And sometimes it's 5 steps forward and 2 steps back. But they're on the yellow brick road, and as they're walking down the yellow brick road, what happens with Dorothy and her good dog, Toto? They come upon what first? The scarecrow. What does a scarecrow want? I want a brain. I want a brain. You know, we can while away the hours, conferring with the flowers. I want a brain. And then all of a sudden, who they come upon? They come upon the Tin Man. What's he want? He wants a heart. He wants a heart. And then where do they come? They come upon the lion, the cowardly lion. And what does he want? He wants courage. And they come together, this motley crew, And they keep going. What happens when they go? They don't automatically get there. They continue on. No stop signs, no traffic lights, no speed limit. But they get distracted, and what happens? They come into all kinds of adventures, and somehow, bit by bit, little by little, they move closer and closer to being a community. They come closer and closer to getting to know themselves. And they finally arrive at the Wizard of Oz, which, by the way, is nothing more than an idol. It's an idol, plain and simple. He's an idol. He's a fake. He's a phony. He's nothing. And they find out that he's there. And they say, well, wait a second. We came all this way, and you're just a man. And, you know, he said, well, what did you want? The Scarecrow says, I want a brain. What does the wizard say to him? Oz says to him, brains are, they're dime a dozen. Don't do that. He goes, what you need is, you need a degree. You know, in our great senses of learning, you need a degree. I'm going to give you a PhD, a doctorate of thinkology. That's what you're getting. You got a brain, you can think. And then the lion, he says, well, I want a heart. He says, hearts. You don't need a heart, you need a testimonial. Here, let me give you this heart-shaped clock. That's what you need. Look, it clicks. It ticks. And then all of a sudden the lion says, well, I want courage. And he says, what you call courage might be rather called intelligence. It might be good for you to run away from some of those things. Courage is overrated. What do you need? You need a medal. That's what you need, is a medal. And all of a sudden they realize that all of a sudden they've already had all the things that they were looking for inside themselves. In fact, along the yellow brick road, a lot of it came out, didn't it? And then all of a sudden they look and they say, but what about Dorothy? What about Dorothy? And the wizard says, well, I don't have an ability to take you home. I'll have to take you home myself. I have to take you home myself. And he takes her out, and there they are with the munchkins. Yeah, the yellow brick road. And they're out there again, and they're in this thing. And what do? He gets in a hot air balloon, but then Toto goes chasing after another munchkin who's got a cat. Yeah, a cat. And then they go after him, and all of a sudden, Dorothy and Toto are out of the balloon. The balloon takes off. The balloon goes. And, the Oz, he's gone. Then all of a sudden, all the munchkins bow down. Because all of a sudden, Glenda the Good Witch comes floating in a bubble. She's the original bubble boy. She comes floating in a bubble, and she puts down, and they tell the plight of Dorothy. And she looks at Dorothy, and you know what she says? She says, why, Dorothy, you had all you needed right from the start to get yourself home. The Scarecrow's incensed by this. What do you mean? Why didn't you tell her back then? And what does Glenda say? Glenda says, she wouldn't have believed me if I told her then. She had to learn it for herself. She had to learn it for herself. Now, what did you learn? What did you learn? And Dorothy says, the thing I learned more than anything else, more than even wanting to go back to my family, what I learned more than anything else was if I ever go looking for my own heart's desire again, I don't have to look any further than my own backyard. Spirituality, faith, it's a hard sell. Because what it's selling is this. There's nothing outside. Nothing outside of you that is better than what you already got inside. The problem is you got to go inside. You got to discover it, recover it. You got to go dig deep. You got to go within yourself. You got to all of a sudden start trusting that God really is in there, that the kingdom of God does reside in you, that you have been given the Holy Spirit, that you have been created in the image of God. But you got to believe that and all of a sudden go deep within it so that then all of a sudden you can say, wait a second, I don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Then all the things that distract you from life, the worries, the cares, the fears, all the things that you think you got to have in control. Well, to tell you the truth, it's all right in here. And it comes in one word called faith. And as you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come knowing this. Everything you've ever been looking for has always been right smack dab inside you. Now, I'm not going to say it's easy. But I am going to say that it's simple. Because it's simple to look and go deeper within yourself. But it's not easy to go inside yourself. But the only way that you will open yourself up to the faith, the spirituality, and life, if you stay disconnected, the best you're going to ever do is survive. You may move around and have a whole lot of stuff, but you'll always be surviving. And the truth of the matter is, even if you laugh every once in a while, the majority of your life is going to be unhappy. But when you get connected, there is a joy that will well up inside you, a peace that will pass all understanding, a communion and a contentment that God has already given you, but you've begun to unfold. Let God's gift that has been placed within you be unwrapped this day. Come and join in the Holy Eucharist, communion, and let that communion spread within you so that when you walk out of here, you can really start doing the service, the true service, but that you can also go into this world alive like never before. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.